Welcome to the Matto Brothers audio series, presented by the Matto Brothers Monthly Newsletter, formerly known as the Richards Report Newsletter.
Welcome to the Matto Brothers audio series. I'm Dr. David Matto. Great to be here today. I'd like to introduce a very special person. He's a mentor. He's a really good friend and an actually all-around very, very special person. Now, many of you are familiar with our guest today because he's certainly no stranger to the Matto Brothers audio series. His name is Dr. Mayor Levitt. Dr. Levitt started and runs Jodina Consulting in Providence, Rhode Island. Now, I've got to tell you something. When I originally asked Mayor to join us today, he kind of hesitated. I invited him to talk to our listeners about consulting, and he took that to me. He thought I was going to ask him to promote his consulting business, which is totally wrong. He didn't want to do anything that he thought would be self-serving. So talked to him a little bit more about it, twisted his arm a little bit, and I'm very, very happy to say he agreed to be on today. And let me go ahead and introduce Dr. Mayor Levitt. Mayor, are you there?
I am there, David. It's nice to talk with you this morning. How are things going?
Things are fantastic here. I've got to tell you, it's always great to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. It's such a pleasure. And I really feel flattered that you've asked me to give you some of these ideas.
Well, you've done interviews with us in the past, and they've been very, very, highly regarded. So it's great having you back. It really is.
Thank you.
So I'll tell you, Mayor, let's get started, because I know we have a lot of information today, so we're not going to waste any time. Let's get going right away. Tell us how you got started in consulting.
Well, actually, David, it really goes back to about 1988. 21 years into my general practice, I had a fairly good-sized general practice in Providence, Rhode Island. And that was about 8 years before I sold out to my two partners. I had started teaching some other general dentists how to schedule their patients. I felt that over the years that I had developed some sort of proprietary scheduling rules and principles that were in large part responsible for my success. So I taught these techniques to my associates and then also to a few good dentist friends in the area just to see if it really worked. And the results really were consistent. They were repeatable. So I said, I'm going to start marketing myself to busy general practices that I felt would be good candidates. What I mean is that practices that were sort of very busy but had reached a plateau couldn't seem to get to the next level. So I would travel to their office, conduct an all-day seminar with the whole staff on these scheduling techniques. After about 6 weeks, after they'd had a chance to learn them and put them into practice, they would come and visit our office for a day and shadow us, the doctors with the doctors, assistants with assistants.
Mm-hmm.
And we would work our day with our patients. Now, without the seminar, they would just sort of see a well-run practice. But after this seminar, they all knew and could appreciate the rules of scheduling and how the day was arranged to maximize efficiency and productivity and profitability. So I did this seminar about 80 times over the next 8 years before I retired from my practice in 1996. That's
wow.
About 11 years ago.
80 times. Mm.
Yeah. And I was still in practice, so I could do it about, once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And my plan was when I retired that I was going to try to do this full-time consulting in this one niche area, going to go and ratchet up the marketing in order to try to locate more of these kinds of busy practices. But now, since I wasn't practicing myself and I was spending a bit more time with these offices when I went there, I started to realize that a lot of the basics of practice management that I assumed everybody knew, well, they really didn't know. And what I'm talking about are some basic management systems like collections, financial, payment policy, how to manage your accounts receivable, how to manage your accounts payable, how to handle dental insurance, how to do a little budgeting and advanced planning for overhead control, how to get more people to accept dentistry with case presentations, marketing, how to deliver great customer service. The list goes on and on and on. And so I started, when I saw this, to develop a more comprehensive consulting program where I would visit once a month for a 2 or 3 hour meeting and then support that meeting with regular telephone calls, emails, and a review of monthly performance data from the practice. So it turns out my average client stays on for about 30 months, and my role is that of a friend, a coach, a mentor. And now it's 11 years and counting. It's about 400 plus dental practices later,
wow.
And it's been a fabulous experience.
That sounds incredible. Now, I'll tell you, Mayor, I'm fascinated that this whole thing got started simply by teaching doctors how to schedule properly. So just a couple of real quick questions before we move on. How important is scheduling, actually? I'll just give you a few questions and just answer them all together. How important is scheduling? Are most offices actually doing it wrong? And what happens to an office when scheduling is done, turns around and is actually done properly?
Well, I would say this. Scheduling is probably, that and collections are probably the two most important management areas in the dental practice. I mean, there's only so many hours of the day where you've got staff, suction, high-speed suction, compressed air, patient, staff. So there's only a certain number of hours in order to be able to make a living. And if, in fact, you can schedule efficiently and profitably, it is a huge advantage to the practice. So there's also probably 20 different ways to schedule patients. You can make a whole tape about how to schedule. But the fact is that I find that I would tell you that if you have a busy general practice and you learn how to be able to schedule in the way that I teach, that usually the average practice increases anywhere from $100,000 to $150,000 a year, without raising their fees, without working faster, without changing the mix of the practice. It's all about how to set up the day. So I guess that I would say to you that most practices could be helped in this regard if they're busy. I mean, if they're got open holes in their practice all day long and they're looking for more new patients and they're not busy, then it doesn't really matter if you're efficient or not. But if you've got a backlog of patients, you're scheduled out 2-3 weeks in advance, what's happening is that your daily production is inventoried at basically that hourly rate. If, in fact, you can learn to be able to schedule differently, and a lot of doctors say, well, I don't want to wear roller skates and I don't want to do that. And that's clearly not what I have in mind. So I would say that a lot of practices could greatly improve if they learned how to schedule properly.
That's incredible. So just taking something like scheduling and changing that around and maximizing that, it sounds like the average practice can increase $150,000. That is just unbelievably significant. And most people probably don't even think about that.
I would tell you that I've seen it happen over and over and over again.
Wow, unbelievable. Now, how does a dentist know if he or she actually needs a consultant?
Well, I think that there's a lot of reasons. I could try to give you a few. I would say, first of all, that the dentist might have hit a plateau. What are examples of that? Maybe collections are flat, but costs, as usual, are rising. Or maybe the practice is going the other way, and the practice has become so busy that the doctor is overwhelmed. That's a plateau. Where you're working on your day off just to keep things under control. And in that situation, the doctor, in essence, needs a life back to have some time with family and friends.
Definitely, yeah.
Maybe it's a situation where new patient totals have stabilized. Or maybe no matter how hard you work and no matter how deep your backlog of patient bookings, just like sort of we just said, you just can't make any more money. These are examples of hitting a wall, and you just can't figure out how to get to the next level. Another reason would be where a practice sort of arrives at a crossroads. What does that mean? Say you think your practice is ready for an associate. Do you have the patient base and the demand to support an associate? Sometimes it seems that way, but many times better efficiencies could solve that problem. So how do you know? Maybe the doctor is considering a facility change. He's at a crossroads, doesn't seem to think that he has enough room. So he's considering an expansion or maybe even an actual location change. That's a crossroads. Maybe the doctor is having concerns about insurance participation, going out of network. This is a real major decision that could be a disaster if it's not handled and analyzed properly. Or maybe you want to change the focus of the practice. Maybe you want to get into sedation dentistry or cosmetic dentistry. So I liken this metaphorically to going to a fork in the road without your GPS. And any road is going to take you somewhere.
Right.
But it sure would be better if you could go down the right road. So those are examples.